Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, Managing Editor Ira Schofel, and Senior Writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Hour number two, Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. I made everybody nervous now.
I knew you were good.
No, you're good.
Everybody's
now,
like,
man.
Good.
You know where you work.
Does he get it? Okay, good job. Good job. We're good. I know that Birch Orthodontics sponsors this hour, and she is the ride and die orthodontist that sponsors this show. And, she's a warrior to deal with being a part of this big cluster.
rebuild.
And, yeah, it's tough, but she's unwavering.
I feel like I need to buy her something, because
I think
before
she's
the season,
okay.
You could buy her anything.
Before the season, I told her, there were a couple of players I told her I really believed in.
Ooh.
Maybe could turn the corner, and it hadn't really happened for those.
Well, give her some
players.
Flowers.
And
I will say this: we've had a lot, and we don't want to overlook Birch Orthodontics. Go ahead and tell everybody how they can go get their kids' teeth fixed at Birch Orthodontics. Mine, yours,
all three of my kids went there. Have beautiful smiles to tell
both
you.
My boys are there
to as testimonials. Birchorthodontics.com is the website. They do a tremendous job, not only tremendous work for your teeth and your kids' teeth, but also just great customer service. They have payment plans. They'll have free consultations. You can come by and they'll evaluate your situation. Every situation is different, and they take time with it, and they treat you like family. Could not speak highly, any more highly.
That's correct.
Than we do about Birch Orthodontics. So patronize them.
And she's a Knoll. Through and through.
Huge Knoll, and has higher expectations than most. She might be the one that would fire a 10-3 coach.
Well, she and me, in tandem, yeah, we're like, okay, I'm about done with this. What are we doing around here? Trying to win some damn football games. So it's a more nuanced discussion than perhaps Corey and I got into, but we can't belabor this point anymore.
No, it's fine.
We figured it out. We patched it together during the break. We got it all figured out. Brought up some other examples where some 10-win coaches got fired.
I like it. You've seen him sneak in a little
right, and I
we're
guess
not
my,
keep
my,
arguing
and my
about
response
this,
to
I'm
be,
sneak
yeah,
this
is
in.
How are those programs doing since? How's Nebraska doing since the firing of?
Well, I would say that Alabama's intolerance for mediocrity worked out. I would say that there are plenty of
who'd
places
they fire that was ten and winning.
Nobody.
Going
I'm
10
saying. I'm saying it wouldn't have mattered. They're not having it forevermore.
Hey,
by the way,
don't let Nick win 10 games.
That's happened already, and they complain.
Can you imagine them losing like 3 games a year for the next 4 years? People would be like, "This, he's passed them by.
He's lost it."
Yeah.
It'd be the lead on a lot of shows around that area, and maybe they'd be right.
This guy, if he wins 10 games in the next 3 years at any point,
there might be a statue.
He's winning coach of the year.
Put a statue.
I'll build a statue of him.
If they actually, what's the amount of time we think it'll take for him to win 10 games here?
Earliest would be 2023.
So it's obviously not this year, and it's not next year.
I think it would be 2023.
Can they do it this year? If they went out, no, they'd have to get to the ACC championship game and then to a bowl, and I don't think they can do it. That's why that Louisville loss hurt so much. It took them out of really the running of for the ACC championship.
Here's a good one from Jimbo last week. Again, I was telling Corey before, I like to watch coaches' press conferences after they lose. It's
Me
a little
too.
Twisted, but
yeah, it is.
But I was watching Jimbo's the other day, and he was talking about the week before when they lost. He said, "Look, all of our goals are still ahead of us.
Yeah,
we can still accomplish all the things we wanted to do. This doesn't change anything." So then
they lose at home to Mississippi State.
So then somebody goes, "Last week you said that all your goals were still ahead of you," and he goes, "I don't worry about goals during the season. That's just talk. That's just talk. I'm not worried about that." Well, you said it.
You said it last week.
7 days
ago.
Yeah.
I bet the guy didn't come back. And
no, I think they moved on to somebody else.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a toughie, that loss last week at home.
The Mississippi State and that offense.
Yeah.
That coach.
I
guarantee you Mike Leach doesn't work as many hours as Jimbo does.
Not a third.
I think I must have watched some of it or seen something on Twitter about Jimbo talking, not glowingly, about his $2 million a year defensive coordinator.
He kind of. Somebody asked, "Were you guys playing?"
Elko.
Somebody asked, "Were you guys playing too soft?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah," but and then he kind of. His first response was kind of like, "Yeah."
And it ain't like he did great, but also Jimbo, you put up
you
two touchdowns,
points.
Bud.
Yeah. Christopher writes, "If FSU upsets the Tar Heels, will we get a pantless Jeff Cameron running down Tennessee Street while holding a suck at Tar Heels sign? And if so, can War Chant film this glorious act?" I would get arrested for that. I don't feel like getting arrested. And also, I don't think North Carolina doesn't warrant that.
No,
that's fair.
Yeah, if they do that with Clemson, even this Clemson team, which is by far the worst in a while for Dabo, I think maybe this Clemson team warrants it.
I think people need to realize that, you know, the champagne bath was a one-time thing because they're 0-4.
Right.
Like, we're not going to up the ante every time they get a win.
Yeah. We're not going to be bathing each other next week.
Jay writes, I'm feeling 2 interceptions for our defensive backfield in the upcoming UNC game. What say you, Ira, Jeff, and Corey? Will Register Sausage do a you pick 2 special for that ass?
Wow.
If they get 2 picks of – sure. I mean, we haven't talked to Ben. I'm going to speak for Ben and say, yeah, sure.
Ben replied, I like where this is headed. Maybe 10% for every INT so long as we win.
Okay.
Okay, now there you go, Ben. Hey,
10 interceptions, and you're talking about free sauce.
Yeah, yeah. So
total take.
Greg wants to know what's wrong with Clemson. Their offensive line is terrible. I talked about it before the Georgia game, and it's just gotten worse as the season's gone on. That's led to some problems. Well, the two correlate, my friend.
Yeah.
Bad quarterback play seems to coincide often with poor offensive line.
But also good quarterback,
being rendered one-dimensional.
But great quarterback play can alleviate a little bit of your issues with
the O-line.
Some of it. And he does not look like he's all that great.
Well, I think he got shook early.
Yeah that.
It's a tough defense to face to start out.
Nobody ever talks about losing ATN. I mean, like, he was a
really good
phenomenal
player.
Running back. I mean, he wasn't just like a very good running back. He was a phenomenal.
They also threw him the ball a lot last year because the offensive line was starting to show cracks in the armor then. And then coming into this season, I remember doing all these season previews for the college sportsbook stuff. I'm looking at their offensive line, and I was reading what some of their local guys were writing about it. And then I'd go back and look, and I'm like, this doesn't look like a championship offensive line. They're having to slide a freshman inside, and I was looking at all these numbers. It's like, I don't know. And then they've gotten their ass torched.
And now he's starting to get some heat because he doesn't go to the transfer portal.
He refuses.
He won't go. So how do you fix that? Usually if you're playing freshman, you can't really fix that quickly. So. Don't let him win 10 games.
Yeah, man, that would – well, how about that?
Panama Noel wants to know, do we honestly think there is no athletes on this team that can run full speed on a kickoff return? Something seems off. Can we get special teams some pregame pie, urban style?
I'm not sure that that's the answer.
Yeah, but I – no, and that's why I asked him what I asked him yesterday. I'm sure you didn't watch it, but you should have. It was an enlightening – we don't ever ask Papuchis anything when he comes. Like he.
I try. Usually.
Ira does. Ira will ask 5 of the 6 questions when it's Papuchis, but they last 4 minutes. But this one was 15 minutes because people had some things to get off their
chest. Well, they're a little worried about the special teams units. Yeah.
But, like, how do you determine who's even good at kick returning when you don't ever tackle them in practice? Like, how do you know who hits a hole hard when there's real contact on the line?
Or when they're jogging.
And because I'm sure there's no way Jawai does that in practice. It's going to catch on, guys.
Yeah.
Much like the Sean gone.
Yeah, to his point, and I actually asked him about this like a month ago.
Because it's crazy how he runs back a kickoff.
And the way they practice it. I mean, we all know that that's an extremely violent portion of the game.
Yeah.
That they're trying to legislate to
be
less
violent. They basically have, yeah. That's why they let you call for the fair catch.
But in practice, you never, ever practice your best coverage unit against your bench return unit.
Nor should you.
Nor should you.
Right.
But the problem is you don't get to see maybe what they
would do. What was his answer?
He said it was a good question when I asked my question. He's like, that's a good question, but I think he did it like that's a ridiculous question, but this is what I say when it's a ridiculous question.
He was patronizing you. Yeah.
There's not a whole lot. I mean, he said what they do is they pick guys who are good in other situations. You've seen them, how they respond.
This guy runs fast normally.
And is explosive, can make a guy miss. Yeah. He said that's why that was the reason they put Pokey Wilson punt returner, because he usually has that move to make a guy. But the problem is he didn't have the ball when he made that
move. Yeah, you got to catch it.
Yeah.
Got to catch it.
That's
a big deal.
First things first.
Always got to catch it.
But I would be very surprised if 22 returns another kick at Florida State.
One little thing about the kick coming down on kick coverage, because I think the question was about kick coverage.
That's been bad, too.
But one thing he did say was all 11 guys, and I think that's important to note, that all 11 guys are not supposed to be running full speed, that there are kind of layers to it. Like the first 7 guys are running full speed, and the next 3 are kind of
theoretically, they're supposed to be running full speed.
Theoretically. I think in that – again, in the 39-yard routine.
That's what I guarantee you they told that Syracuse kid, man, no matter where you catch it, take it out. Because they're not running. They're at the 35 when you catch it. So go.
Michael, I like your question. I've answered some Twitter questions already. Going back to some Facebook questions here. Just trying to show the balance.
We appreciate that balance.
Okay. Week 5 state champs. Hang that plaque in the Smoker's Lounge at Doak right next to the top 200 defense plaque. Has anyone considered Urban hired her to bring on a heart attack? Guy beneath him, Brent, writes, you got to hand it to old Urban Meyer. Even though the Jags are 0-4, he just keeps grinding.
Oh, boy.
Wow. top 200 defense.
Hey, they're top 80 defense right now. Top 80. I think they're 77.
When did we say we were going to hang the plaque in the smoker's lounge?
I thought we said top 40.
40 is what we wanted.
So we still got a year.
Ooh, we got a ways.
Yeah, we got a year at least to get
but
to
top 40.
But
they did win the weekend.
But without question. UCF lost because as I've – and by the way, I bring that up because 2 weeks ago I ripped the coach.
Malzahn.
Because he's a clown. And the guy, there was a UCF guy who got all upset with me. But here you go, buddy. It's starting. It's happening. Get ready. It's off a cliff for them as long as that clown's there. But that said, UF loses. Miami loses. That's a glorious moment.
Willie won. Sent Butch Davis in retirement.
Over FIU. Apparently. That's a big win. But Florida State did win the weekend. That was good. Yeah. It was a good day at the
office.
And the Bucks won, too.
Yeah. Congrats. I'm not,
inexplicably. I thought that entire game they were going to lose. Even when they were winning, I thought they were going to lose.
Champions find a way. Ira, you know that.
So the championship
really
DNA.
Not, in their blood. Worried about that. It's just what they do. It's magic. Mike writes, do you guys think Norvell brought in Dillingham and Fuller for their loyalty and grit rather than their abilities as coordinators? Maybe he realized he needed a loss. I'm going to skip all that. Here's the deal.
Well,
no,
look,
there's no way that you would do that because if they're terrible, you could lose your job.
Yeah, this is his one shot at a place like this, so you don't do it just because they're friends or you trust them. And in fact, he tried to get Lanning at Georgia. So it wasn't like Fuller was his first choice. I think Dillingham was always going to be his guy. And I think that's just because they worked well together. I don't think that's like...
And they did good things together.
We're golf
they
buddies.
Worked,
yeah. They have worked really well together in the past. It's just not, hasn't totally clicked. I think I'm fair in saying that.
They're lacking the personnel.
It hasn't totally clicked yet here at Florida State.
It's going to be a while.
But Fuller was the one we questioned even back then. Like this was a... You went from Dan Lanning... The defensive coordinator at Georgia going after him.
That was a really lofty goal. Really liked the effort.
Well, he knew him. I mean, he had a history with him, so he knew him. To go from him to Adam Fuller, whose maybe resume isn't quite Dan Lanning's. That was a pretty precipitous drop to option two. I don't know. It could have been option nine for all we know. But jury's still out, guys. Jury's still out. Adam Fuller's coming off a dub. And you got to stop when it mattered.
Definitely got a special teams question here. Folks wanting to know, like, come on, man, what's going on with that? We've pretty well addressed this. It is something that can't continue to suck, as addressed this week by Norvell, who said that can't continue to happen. And that has to really eat at him because he has gone out of his way to preach it.
Well, the thing is, during preseason, and he talked about it when he got hired, he talked about how basically everywhere he's been, they've returned kicks for touchdowns. And it was something he talked about in preseason camp. During practice, he was you could hear him telling guys, we're going to return one for a touchdown. We're gonna break some kicks, and it's not even close. Part
you think
of it
Ja'Kai
is
hurt them.
Part of it is they don't have special return guys. I mean, they thought Travis Jay was going to be their main guy. He's always hurt or hasn't been available very much. And even when he was out there, it wasn't like he was close to breaking one. So even if the blocking is there, it's hard to tell because the guys returning kicks have not looked good. But Corey Wren, when he was doing it, would just kind of run into traffic.
He had one out to the 40, I think.
He did have one out to
My problem is that it wasn't like that last return by Ja'Kai Douglas was the only time he looked like he did not want any part of it.
Right,
like,
I agree.
So why then is he still at that? You have Corbin back there too. Why not flip him? At least Corbin, if you're going to put Corbin out on a kick return, why are you putting him as the other guy instead of the main? The guy on the left.
Did they choose that or does the kicker choose that?
Well, I think the kickers always kick it to the left because that's how they kick it. You don't see many kick to the right. They usually, when they're booming it, they're trying to boom it to the left. So why not flip them? Why after the first return you're like, okay, Ja'Kai, that was not any good.
That's not what we're looking for, Ja'Kai.
And especially after the second one, but the third one is 30-30, and you still put them back there, so we could look even worse.
Tyler writes, did y'all catch that Dan Mullen press conference on Monday? Feels like that marriage might be fizzling a little bit between him and Manny. Maybe there's still hope for us yet. Yeah, it's a point you made last hour. Yeah,
window's opening, Mike. Make it happen.
Get some of those recruits, damn it, especially at linebacker. Good Lord. There's a couple guys committed to Miami and Florida that,
Hey.
Hey, nothing's signed, is it? Hey,
let's get to Seminole Headlines. 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Tony loved your all's post-game celebration on YouTube, so don't let the commenters, get you down.
Those commenters are idiots, Tony. Yeah, yeah. You're the smart one.
I wish Corey would have done that when the Braves clinched. My question is, what is up with all of the consistent injuries over the past several years, particularly with the offensive line and quarterback positions? Is it something that can be addressed with the nutrition department or strength and conditioning? Instead of an hour number two, can you guys pop some bottles with a win over Clemson, UF, or Miami?
Yeah.
I think if they would let us, we'd pop some bottles in here.
Oh, yeah.
For a Seminole Headlines edition.
Especially, all three of those, really. I think Clemson.
All three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of those.
Any of the three, I think is worthy of popping a bottle.
On the injuries, when it comes to the offensive line, one theory that has been presented to me by somebody who would have an idea.
Other than my Fight Club theory.
Another alternative.
What about my Clay theory?
Alternative theory.
Do you like that theory, though?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good theory.
I don't know if I know it exactly.
We don't have the same kind of clay to mold that the other.
There might be something to that. But this theory is that because of the position they've been in with not very good offensive linemen for several years, they had to play a bunch of young guys before they were ready, and their bodies aren't physically developed enough. Usually, if you have an offensive lineman that has talent, you want to build them in the weight room 2 or 3 years, then get them physically strong enough to deal with 300-pound defensive linemen. But when you're playing Maurice Smith and Darius Washington and Robert Scott and these guys as freshmen or redshirt freshmen,
yeah, they haven't been developed.
They're getting banged up. So that makes sense.
It is, but it doesn't explain DLT and some others that we've had get hurt.
Well, that was a structural damage.
Right. I'm just saying they've been unlucky in other ways too. I mean, it's every way imaginable.
Yeah.
They've had issues there. It's frustrating too, because it's the one area where they can't afford to lose anybody. And that's the first place they lost somebody. I mean, immediately this year was the first thing that happened. And then I would also say this, if you have marginal talent or seriously flawed talent at quarterback, you can't have those guys missing a lot of practices due to injury or for whatever reason. And they both have. We know that. There's no secret there. We're not revealing something we shouldn't. That those two guys have spent a lot of time at various points missing practices.
But I also think that that's why last week, the fact that Jordan Travis played the entire football game and that offensive line played the entire football game, when Maurice got into it, it's that's important. And I think you're going to need that to happen.
Well, you definitely need 13 to figure out a way to play. He has to stay on the field. I'm sure you didn't. You should. The story I wrote about the difference between Travis and the other guys that have taken snaps.
No, I read it.
Why do you assume he didn't read it?
I don't know.
You assumed he didn't watch the press conference.
Yeah, I think he's too busy.
What do you think Jeff does the rest of his day?
Yeah. Golfs.
I wish. I used to golf before I took this job.
Go feel up co-eds at bars. Yeah, I know, right? But when Jordan Travis plays the majority of the snaps in a football game, they average 34 points a game. When he doesn't, whether it's Blackman, Milton, Rodemaker, Chuba, anybody else, they average 16 points a game. That's incredible. That's nuts. Because none of us here think he's an All-American.
No, he's not real good.
But he puts up 34 points per game. They average, I looked it up, and I'm not a big yards per play guy.
You should be.
Points per drive.
Okay, I was going to say.
Points per drive. Not yards per play, but points per drive. So in the 14 games that he's played, the games that he's played the majority of the snaps, they average 2.82 points per drive. Hang with me here, folks. That would be good right now for like 27th in the country. When the other, which is good. I mean, that's 27th in the country. When the other guys take snaps, they average 1.24.
Not as good.
Which is about 109th. Mm-hmm. Like, it's insanity, the difference.
I think the concern is
that he can't stay on the field.
Well, that, and then also, when you play better competition, where's the upside? Is there going to be an upside to it Whereas, and I think that was why they were trying to make him into a more complete passer.
Because at some point you have to be able to do something and, other than.
I mean, yes. I just think it's to the point now. It's like you got to figure out a way to keep him on
that's
the field.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like and, the Jacksonville State game was a perfect example of, hey, man, get him out there and win this football
game.
Go win the game.
You would have won by two touchdowns he plays.
Go win the game. Or make a tackle or bat somebody down or be in a normal defense.
Three points in the second half against Jacksonville State is embarrassing. And that was a 53-yard field goal.
Whalen writes, gentlemen, great to see a win. This Absolutely. Is perfect for our conversation we just had. Those victory sausages were great on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
At what point in the season do we start to see Purdy? I appreciate what Travis does for this team. We are 1-4, already starting in on the youth movement on the back end of the defense. I'm looking October 23rd, the heavyweight bout with UMass, thinking that may be the spot for him to play. What say you guys? Keep up the great work. It's not a bad idea.
I'd like to get him in the game.
I'd like to see him play quite a bit. Because there are some games, I don't care who's playing quarterback, that they can't win. Mm-hmm. Clemson's one of them. I mean, they can't win.
Clemson's not going to score.
Yeah, they will. They'll score 21.
What are they going to score?
21?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a guarantee they're going to score 21.
I do know it's a guarantee.
All right. Let's prove it.
Well, here's what I know. Florida State is not blocking Clemson in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
At all.
Well, wouldn't you rather have Travis back there if you can't block somebody than anybody else?
I would like somebody who can throw a forward pass accurately at some point.
Well, hey, man. Hey, 34 points.
This actually just gets us back into they don't have personnel. And that's great. Travis is the best option.
Right.
Not a good quarterback.
But, if you judge just by, like, you know, points, he's all right, which it seems like what you would judge by. He has no offensive line to work with and no good receivers.
And he's not an accurate passer.
Right, but he put up 28 against Notre Dame, started a drive that got him to 35, and put up 33 against Syracuse. Like, again, I'm not arguing that he's good.
I'm not saying we should start somebody else this year as a way of saying that, like, it's an argument between him and Milton. I'm saying that you got to recruit over him, first of all, easily. Secondly, I mean, at some point you are going to have to play Chubba Purdy just to see, can he play at all?
Well, but I don't think it's because you think he's necessarily better than Jordan Travis, but I think it's just you can't count on Jordan Travis ever being healthy.
Correct. I'd like to see if over time he could be better than Jordan Travis.
Maybe, yeah. Going into next season, you need to know if anything you have in Chubba Purdy.
Or are you going to have to start A.J. Duffy?
Well, no. If Jordan Travis is on the roster, you're starting Jordan Travis until he gets banged up, and then you feel like who your number two quarterback is. I just told you those numbers, buddy.
I'm telling you, watching him run around. I'm not going to do it.
It's Javi Baez.
No, it's
Javi
not.
Javi Baez
it's not.
Is disgusting to watch.
But
he is a productive Major League Baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
I just told you the numbers. He averages 34 points per game, 2.82 yards points per drive. Like how do you explain it?
What's his record?
4-3, and the rest of the guys are 0-7.
I know.
And two of the three losses were to Notre Dame. So the only game that he's played the majority of the snaps and played poorly and they got hammered was Louisville last year.
And he was awful.
He was awful.
Yeah.
But other than that, everybody's been awful. It's not like who would get this thing humming? Mahomes?
A.J. Duffy might.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. I'm ready to give that.
I'm not ready. I mean, just put up 33 and had a winning. Nobody else on that roster gets them to the 15-yard line.
Clemson scored more than 19 points in regulation.
I was wondering if we were just texting people.
One time this season, they've scored more than 19 in regulation. But you're guaranteeing they're going to score 21.
How about we clarify? Let's define our terms before we have the
20,
bet.
By the way. Said 20.
First of all, let's define our terms. Because I think Clemson's going to get one or two defensive scores.
I was going to say, what about a pick six? Does that count?
Possible.
I was going to say, we're going to add some points up for Clemson on the defense.
I would not play Chuba against that team. Not if you're trying to build confidence.
Well, that's why he wants to play him against UMass.
Yeah, but I wouldn't start him. I think Jordan Travis is your quarterback until he's not your quarterback. But Chuba should get some reps.
This is the kind of
only if you got the game in control.
Yes, you're not. Yeah. I mean, it's still. I mean, you should beat UMass by 35 points.
But should it be Jacksonville?
Yeah, exactly. You got to win that game and then let Chuba Purdy get some.
I would argue that Jacksonville State would beat UMass by 3 touchdowns minimum. So I do think, I mean, there's
what
no...
What would Kennesaw State do?
Kennesaw State destroy Walt Bell.
Well, they do what everybody else does to UMass. Have you looked at those scores?
No, they're terrible.
Yeah,
it's insane. All right. This is what ends up happening, though. When you have limited personnel, you're arguing about... They're all negatives. They're all negatives. It's like, you're like, okay, this is the best of the sorry.
Yeah.
That's what we end up doing. I mean, there's just... And to me, it's going to be irrelevant in certain games. The Florida game, if Florida's still playing hard and cares at all, their talent is such that it wouldn't matter if Jordan Travis starts, Trevor Purdy starts, you start, I start, doesn't make any difference. They're going to get blown out. And Clemson's that way, too, because their defensive line will literally manhandle.
Well, they keep getting hurt, so maybe they're all in their second and third team by then. They've had actually worse injuries than Florida State, I think.
That's tragic to hear. Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV continues in a moment. Obviously, you guys are locked in to Seminole Headlines right here on 93.3 FM Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV if you're watching it and you're listening to the podcast, housedbywarchant.com, of course. We have to make mention of our friends at Horizon Bar and Grill. We were just there. Mm. The reason I paused, I was trying to think of the exact day. That was last Friday.
Friday night, yeah. Speaking of housing, I housed that burger.
You did.
I housed it.
Got after it.
It was a mushroom and Swiss. It was incredible. It really was. I don't think I'd had a burger there before. I had everything else.
I went for the burger. It was tacos that I always get.
That's what you do.
Always.
Did you guys do an app?
Got hummus. Mm. You know, in hummus, I love, I'm not a big fan of hummus, but I love their hummus. But in retrospect, hummus is great. I don't know why I veered away from the mac and cheese bites. You just those are the ones you go for.
Well, they're undefeated.
They don't lose.
Well, it's kind of. I think you might want to step away just to remember how great they are.
Yeah, and that's no shot at the hummus because the hummus is the best hummus I've ever had. That's a high bar to clear.
Going
to
be a great year at Horizons Bar and Grill, by the way, because we're going to be going over there, have a little get together before the season starts. But also that setup, if you've not been there, has a gazillion televisions, a big old bar, an outdoor patio,
great patio area with the couches and stuff. It's great, man.
It's a great part of town on the northeast side of Tallahassee. You take Thomasville Road up to Bannerman. It's in Bannerman Crossing. It's a great little development there with a lot of other restaurants and great people. And you might run it. Might bump into Corey Clark having some hummus.
Yeah, some headlines.
Or me.
The
headlines hummus.
Ira goes too. Yeah. No, we could all do it. Good stuff.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Good day, gents. Which number is higher, right, Spencer? This one's for you, Corey. Mm. Atlanta Braves playoff victories or Florida State football wins?
Ooh.
That's going to be Braves victories, my friend.
You think so? You think they got some from the Brewers?
I think they're going to win at least two games.
You think Florida State's tapping out at two this year?
Three is going to be hard to get to.
I'm going to say, because the Braves are going to win it all. So what is that? That's
boom.
Three, seven. That's 11
wins.
Straight. That's 11 games.
Just
Florida State's not doing that.
Can't even get there. Yeah. Mike Rice, do y'all think that Kenny Dillingham ever dreams about being able to start on the 25-yard line?
So I wanted to talk about that real quick. Like, I get that people want to ask, why don't you fair catch? But I like Papuchis's response. It's like, we don't want to teach that. We don't want to teach that we're just giving up.
I do.
I know you do. But
with this team and this personnel, I do.
But that's not...
I want to teach, let's give ourselves the best chance to succeed.
Hey, you're talking about a two-yard difference on average.
No, if I'm watching a guy tiptoe to the 15,
well, that's
I'm not doing
those
that.
Those days rover. He's not the returner anymore. But as Papucha said, on the average, when they bring it out, they start at the 23, which is terrible, but it's 2 yards difference from where they start out. But his point was, we don't want to build a program by just conceding we can't do something. We're trying to build a program, and you do that by working at it and getting better at it and seeing it work on Saturdays. Like, we wouldn't do that on offense. You know, he didn't say this, but he's like, we're not just going to punt on third down when it's third and 14, although they should.
There are times.
But they're not going to do it. So I like that response. I'm like, yeah. And as soon as my man Ja'Kai busts one this week for 96.
Let's go.
Sideways, like back and forth.
Big road win.
Big, people are going to be like, thank God he didn't fair catch that one.
Since Corey doused himself in champagne after one win, how many wins this season for Ira to do tequila shots after the game?
Hmm.
Man, I think it should be the same thing. It should be if they beat any
of
those three.
If they beat North Carolina, let's do a tequila shot together on camera.
We'll do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. We live around the corner from each other, so we can do that.
Is Aslan always going to buy the drinks?
Yeah. I think y'all should go to a bar and just start, see what happens. We'll film you off to the side.
John writes, rock solid question for that ass. Given the state of the program, who would we have to beat for it to be acceptable for our fans to storm the field after the win?
Nobody. Ever.
I agree.
Unless we were hosting.
Let's say we were hosting like Alabama in 2 years, and we won that game. I might storm the field.
Well,
given the state of the program currently,
yes, they're not. Are they hosting Alabama? Is that happening? Is that a home and home?
That is some a home. Got to get it together before then, Corey. Watch, we're going to need to get it together.
Watch BC and NC State play Gardner Webb in Buffalo and Akron, all these games. And Florida State's like, why don't we just take on Alabama?
Richard, you're not mad at Coach Atkins. I'm going to answer this preemptively here before I read it. You're mad at the players. Trust me on this. Atkins works miracles with angles to get guys to be able to run the ball successfully at all within
the They ran for 250.
I know they did, and that's why I'm preemptively answering Richard's question. He says, you guys praise Coach Atkins all the time, but I've seen a three-man rush get pressure too many times.
Look.
Is he coming back for 2022? Oh, God, yes. He's the best coach on the team.
Yeah. They might make him head coach.
He's I mean, that situation is not good.
No,
but
it's
you have two things working against you in that situation. One was Mackenzie Milton not being able to run the way he normally is, and then Robert Scott was coming back from injury, wasn't right, and missed a block. But,
well, they've missed a few on three-man pressures. They've missed a few where they have more than they have to block, and they're not good. And some of them are hurt. Most of them are hurt. That's a big problem, too. I mean, if the guys you're rolling out there are young and hurt,
they're playing,
problematic.
But they're hurt.
Yeah, Robert Scott is clearly not himself. And I don't know that he was good to begin with. He may eventually be. I know that
he's basically a redshirt freshman.
That's what I mean. I'm saying he may eventually be good. But so he's been hurt and he's young. They haven't had Maurice Smith out there until this week, and even he's playing hurt. They've had really
– Dylan Gibbons is hurt. Devontae Taylor's hurt. I mean, literally all of them. Darius might be the only one that's healthy.
Yeah. And that was a great block at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Darius.
Well done, man.
That is what you do. We're trying to win games around here. Make them call it.
And again, when you make a block like that and then throw your hands up like this, it clearly
it
means you didn't do anything wrong.
At all.
You didn't do anything wrong. You're telling the guy, I didn't touch him.
If you did, if you did something wrong, Darius would have been like, hey
man, my bad.
Yeah.
But if you do this.
Like in the Jordan documentary, the guy rolling dice.
I will.
But he went like this. He didn't have it.
I will tell you, when you go back and watch that on replay, it's not as egregious as it first looked.
Yeah,
he's getting
the hand of the face. So the ref's probably like, well,
yeah,
both of you giving each other the business. You guys are giving each other the business. All right, it's just football.
How many
for
times,
once an ACC ref just let men be men.
Think about that. Like if he calls that hold,
you're going overtime. I mean, then you're going to lose in overtime.
You're still kind of in field goal range, at the edge of it. But then you're at midfield, and that's the end of the game.
Yeah, it was.
Those refs didn't want to watch any more of that.
They're like, let's go. That's a good block. Make a tackle.
Move the chains.
Yeah,
and credit to Fitz Dog for coming through right there. Those aren't automatic. That was a big kick for him and Norvell.
So I don't want to do that one.
Go back to Twitter.
I did. I just did.
Right. Yeah, that's why he didn't want to do
it. Which matchup do you feel better about, Clemson or Florida? That's the Twitter question for you.
I mean,
it's got to be Clemson, oddly.
Yeah.
If Florida's engaged. I mean, again, we don't know. That could turn into a mess.
It could.
So I
would think Clemson.
You just think it would be a little more low scoring because they haven't exactly erupted on anyone.
Yeah, so
Florida put up 28 on Bama. And when the other kid is playing, they could be pretty dynamic.
So they had, how many false starts did they have?
Well, I don't know. I didn't watch that game.
Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had
apparently they're like –
Oh, it's like 16
false starts.
I know they had 16 penalties.
Apparently, they had a ton of false starts.
Well, it's Lexington, man. At night, are you kidding?
Preston wants to know when we go out for dinner, for a peaceful family dinner
at Horizons,
and get bombarded by co-eds as we do, and they want to take pictures and dance.
Right.
Yeah.
How do we handle it?
Drag us to
the bar that's next door. Yeah. How do we handle it?
How do you handle that, Corey?
I usually go because I don't want to be rude. You know that. I don't want to be
rude.
Well,
that's what Urban said. He can't be rude in that situation.
But if the 21-year-old is grinding on you like an Urban situation.
Out of nowhere. There were no indicators that could happen.
Yes, that would be.
Urban probably didn't want to be rude. So you might not want to be rude.
If you must grind.
Well, no, I would say, look, I have a wonderful girlfriend that I'm in love with.
Well, so this wasn't a good example
and
for
she's
you
because right
you're
here.
Not married.
She's standing right here. So get off me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get off me, woman.
Yeah. It's not so much that what you're doing is wrong, but she's right here. Yeah. She's right here.
Exactly. Have some spatial awareness.
Yeah. Look around the place.
Yeah. Like Urban clearly didn't.
Still love the fact.
You think he turned around? He never thought once, why is that guy? Why is this? Why is he taking a pic? What's he doing with his camera?
The whole bar was filming him.
Yeah.
He was the center of attention, like the clown that he is.
Yeah.
They were laughing at him.
Well, hey. It's good. Good night. Good night for old Urban.
The way I handle it is I politely decline. I think that's what
you know what Jimbo should have done.
I am politely declined. Get away from me.
Yeah. Crazy whore.
Hey.
You said you impolitely.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
When Jimbo got here and was the OC And he could tell right off the bat, he talked about it, when he looked at Florida's sideline, he looked at Florida State sideline when he first got here and said, well, this is going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. Look at their guys and our guys. He couldn't have planted something like that right then, like, and helped Coach Bowden out. He could have created a situation to put Urban
– yeah.
I think Jimbo wanted to get the head job.
He also
was looking to help Coach Bowden out that much.
Well, I think he was, but I also think that he didn't think Urban was that low down and ignorant to fall for it.
Wow.
Well, he was wrong. He was wrong.
Yeah, obviously.
Tough decade for Urban with a national championship sprinkled in there.
Yeah, nobody ever doubted his ability to walk into a place loaded with talent and win.
Would you take him tomorrow?
No.
I know.
Because sometimes a situation like that.
Ira said he'd quit the business if Urban Meyer was the Florida State head coach.
It would be impossible.
Whenever a celebrity gets into a situation like that, you kind of wonder, did somebody set him up? Is there something at play?
Yeah.
But who would set up a winless Jacksonville Jaguars?
It's like Occam's razor, right? The most logical explanation. It's like Urban's just an idiot doing an idiot thing, probably drunk, like you said. And
there's no probably about it. The stills of the front. Pictures of him face on.
Hey, man, he was out with his grandkids.
That part nobody would have cared about.
Right.
Famous people get hammered all the time. That's not – nobody cares about that. It's the whole grabbing her ass while she's dancing on you.
Yeah.
And then just lying about it afterwards and telling everybody that you just took some pictures.
Yeah, people are trying to get me on the dance floor. Yeah.
And then you have to be smarter. Again, he doesn't have friends. Because if he did, somebody would be like, hey, yo, man, other people took pictures. This is not going to be good for you.
Like I would do with you.
We got to get out of here.
Jeff, come on, man.
Oh,
we got to
ride.
You're too famous.
We got to go.
You're too big a name.
Time to ride. Some of the headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, you're declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
Hooray for the win! For the past several seasons, writes Eric, it's been frustrating to watch our offense attempt to run a screen pass. They're always blown up for losses or minimal gains, although the dropped backwards version that ended with a scoop and score for Parchment was an interesting twist. I checked the rule book, and it does not explicitly prohibit this idea, which is why I propose this as a possible solution. When we line up trips to the outside, wouldn't it be better to swap out two of the receivers with a pair of Ford F-150s to provide a bit more blocking power so we can get more than a yard and a half on a screen pass? As always, you boys keep on keeping on. Hashtag rock ass dog.
You'd have to put a uniform on them.
Yeah. I wonder if there – I don't think there is a rule.
I mean, maybe not, because that's not a sentient being, a truck. But what if you got, like, a bull?
I also don't know if there's anything in the rule book about bringing weapons on the field.
Well, there definitely isn't. They didn't think about this back in the day. They didn't think that a gun would be – like in Last Boy Scout, they didn't think somebody might just shoot you.
Or nunchucks.
Or nunchucks. That's something you don't hear that word a lot.
Nunchucks?
Yeah. He said nun. Is it nun or numb?
It's numb.
Who knows?
I thought it was nunchucks, too. Numchucks. It doesn't matter. I know how to use them.
No, I'm talking about
I don't know how to pronounce them.
I can't use them.
Yeah, I was great.
Remember when you were a little kid, everybody wanted to try to use them?
You'd hit yourself in the nose.
I hit myself in the face one time and went, that's enough of that.
That's why that's a weapon. It hurts.
I'm not doing it. Yeah. And I never cared about Chinese stars either.
Yeah.
Throwing stars.
They're throwing stars now.
Oh, they're not called Chinese stars?
Yeah.
Throwing stars.
I thought they originated from China. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, that's what I thought they were.
I don't know. Right. They call them throwing stars now.
If you want to be racist, you can call them Chinese stars.
Why would that be racist?
I don't know.
This Italian food, sir, it's pasta.
Trust me, the first time I was told about crisscross applesauce, I'm like, what in the world is this?
There we go.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Michael writes, hey, Ira, bet you got excited Facebook went down, so that way Jeff would get to answer none of my Twitter questions.
That's
alas, Facebook is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
With the way Clemson's offense has been going, we slightly improve our offensive and defensive performances. I think it's actually possible we can win.
Mm.
But say we do win.
Okay.
Years from now, you'll tell your son in the Uncle Jeff voice, son, that was a glorious year. We beat Clemson. Finally, and son, We also lost to Jacksonville State. Dad, what's J State? There's no state that begins with J. I know, son. I know.
You just won't even tell him about Jacksonville State.
Doesn't
need
to know.
The win.
Or you say it as like one of the great comeback stories of all time. You're so bad you lose to Jacksonville State, and then you beat the, what, six-time reigning conference champions 2 months later.
I do think we're short-selling this win from the standpoint of the fact, yes, I know Syracuse isn't great, and I know Florida State isn't great.
No.
But the fact that they did, after losing four straight games, including three basically, well, two in the last play and another one that was kind of last.
Yeah, three in the last minute. Yeah.
To win a game like that, I mean, it's a good step.
Well, it's like you would say we started with the season. Like, there are going to be a lot of coin toss games. Wouldn't you say they played four coin toss games? They've lost three of the four coin tosses. So, baby, they're due. The next two close games,
run here.
The next two close games, they're winning. That's how odds work, right? It's a coin toss. It's a 50-50 chance.
Not always, though. You could lose nine.
Yeah,
straight,
you could lose. I've done it. Yeah, blackjack's supposed to be 50-50. I've lost 11 hands in a row.
It's brutal when that happens. Looking again here, let's see. Of the remaining games, which ones are you going to class? I want your definition of coin toss, Corey.
Okay.
North Carolina.
No.
Not a coin toss game. UMass.
Yeah. No.
Not a coin toss game. Okay. Now we get into the real, right?
Yeah.
Clemson, not a coin toss game.
Nope.
NC State,
yep.
Not a coin toss game.
No. Nah, what's the spread going to be?
They're better than we thought.
Sure,
they were.
But what's the spread? I mean, they beat Louisiana Tech 34-27.
They're a lot. No,
I mean, let's do cartwheels
about
that.
It's not a coin toss game.
But right, but it will come down to, I think, it will come down to the fourth quarter.
If it does, if it ends up
they've
being
gotten a lot
either
better
way, then Florida State's gotten a lot better, I think. Because NC State's a lot better than I
actually, NC State's pretty good.
I mean, I guess. They beat that Clemson team. Is that what we're excited about? Well,
yeah, I mean, they did.
They did.
But right, but they beat
did.
Louisiana Tech by seven. They got almost destroyed by Mississippi State.
They didn't get almost destroyed. They got beat by Mississippi State.
But they didn't score until the fourth quarter of that game. Like, they're good. They're better than Florida State, but they're not going to come in here as a 14-point favorite. That's not going to be an incredible
upset.
They're
not coming into this stadium.
No.
Who are
you trying
to
fire up? I'm telling you, they're going to come in here by close to double-digit favorites. 9, something like that, 10.
No chance. No chance.
Are you crazy?
No chance.
Are you watching Florida State football?
I watch these lines, son.
And,
I watch these lines.
Okay.
Florida State was somehow favored this last week.
Yes, because because Syracuse sucks.
And understand, they're going to be coming off that UMass win. Right? So you got a little more confidence built in.
No, when they play NC State, they'll be coming off a loss to Clemson.
Oh, that hurts. That's a little stinger. Let's see how that Clemson game goes.
Let's.
All right. But I think that's a game. I can't imagine both of y'all think that game is going to be a blowout. And
I
NC
do.
State's going to be up by three touchdowns.
I don't think it's
going
to be a blowout, but I would not. I think Florida State would have to. A lot of things would have to go right.
I think Florida State will lose
NC State's
by more
got a good
than
two
defense.
Scores.
Mm. Cool. We're trying to sell a show, Jeff. We're trying to get people interested in this product.
The show sells the show, man. People are long gone if the only thing they cared about is Florida State football. That was a while ago, baby.
No,
that ship sailed
ages
ago.
I'm trying to sell some hope. Right?
I know.
They're going to be in any of these games.
Be a realist here. Miami might very well be a coin toss game
100%.
Because they look like they have called it a day.
Yeah.
And they stink.
Yeah. Boston College is not a coin flip game. Not on the road. Nope.
Again, a coin flip. That implies that I think it's going to be a pick 'em game. I don't. I think Boston College is favored by 8 to 10, 12
Thank
points,
you.
Somewhere in that.
Thank
but.
You.
I also think it's going to be a close game in the fourth quarter. And that's what I mean. If you play certain situations
finally,
well.
Florida's not a coin flip game.
If you play certain situations well against NC State and Boston College and Miami, those games will come down to the final few minutes of those games, I think. And if you do that, you got a chance. That's what I mean by
a
coin flip.
They have a chance in any of those games.
Like, you know, you make a play. You know, Jacksonville State shouldn't have been a coin toss game. But, you know, the Louisville game came down to the final flipping play almost.
Yeah, not as many coin flip games in this part of the schedule is my point.
Right.
The first half of the schedule are these areas where you could have won. I mean, we know we said just because it was the first game of the year, caught Notre Dame early, could be a coin flip game, played out like that. Obviously, nobody expected us to lose to Jacksonville State. That wasn't a coin flip game, by the way.
Florida
State was huge favorites, as they should have been. Wake was a coin flip game. They got blown out, turned it over 6 times. Louisville was a coin flip game. They lost 31-23, and that first quarter was the damning element of that game. This was a relative coin flip game. Florida State was favored by, 4.5 going into the game? Beat Syracuse by 3.
Yeah,
when you think about it that way, honestly, Florida State's really played, I think, two bad halves of football. I think the first half against Wake and the first half against Louisville. Really, the only two bad. I mean, that's not good.
Well, the second half to Jacksonville State was an abomination. You scored 3 points, man.
Yeah.
On a 50-yard field goal.
But you didn't just lay down. You know, you didn't give up. I guess, all right.
Yeah, both sides count.
Yeah, no, fair.
Screw that. Fair. Screw that game. I'm never going to get over that game.
You
think.
You will.
I don't know.
People
when
say
when,
that all
hey,
the time.
When
we'll
Norvell's ripping
it.
Off four straight 10-win seasons. And we're talking about firing him.
We're talking about firing him.
I'll get over the
fourth consecutive
I'll be like,
10-win season.
10-3 again. Same guy that lost to Jacksonville State.
You know what's going
to
happen is that the kicker will be that, and I'll win you over. We'll be sitting there arguing. He's like, I don't know. You just can't do it, Jeff. And I go, he lost to Jacksonville State. You're
get
like,
rid
oh,
of
that's
him.
It. You're right. That's still unforgivable.
I'm tired of
I'm
that.
I'm done with it. Damn
it's
it,
been nine
man.
Years of this. But look, I do think there is some, to Ira's point, there can be some confidence gain from playing the last 5 minutes of a close
there
game.
There can
well.
Be, and their matchups matter. I mean, like, this game against North Carolina, if you wreak havoc, like we started the show with, and I think there's a good chance you will, because I really like this front four. Yeah. Now, they're now down a starter, which or a co-starter. Yeah. It's not good. You lose in depth. You get worn down. But
yeah, that's big, because that's your strength.
Yeah, man, that is your strength of your team. And but if you can dominate up front and this game is close in the third quarter – yeah, I think the heavily favored North Carolina team that, for whatever reason, Mack Brown has never been able to find a way to get past Florida State. Yeah, and North Carolina's not feeling real good about itself right now. Maybe, just maybe, some weirdness occurs because you put game pressure on people, things happen. Maybe. I think it's unlikely that Florida State is able to do enough offensively to give themselves that chance in the fourth quarter. But defensively, I think, you know, maybe scoop and score, maybe something like that, pick six like that.
And I think when you look at the remaining schedule, we put UMass down as a win, but the other three remaining games that I think are the most winnable are the three we talked about. I think at BC is winnable. It's not. It's certainly they're not going to be favored.
BC lost their quarterback. So
yeah, and they run the ball. Yeah. And if Jermaine Johnson is still playing and all these guys up front are still playing, you have it's an okay matchup. NC State at home and Miami at home. Those are the three games where if you play well and play specifically the fourth quarter well in a close game, you can win those games. The other three. I mean, at Carolina, at Clemson, at Florida, that's going to be rough.
Corey's got him at 5-7. You heard
5-7. You can go to a bowl at 5-7 right now. Isn't that the rule? If you can,
it's a possibility. Yeah,
I like your optimism. That BC team, even having lost their quarterback, just lost 19-13 on the road at Clemson. They have beaten.
Can't even snap the ball.
But they prior to that, of course, were undefeated. Had the win against Missouri, and then three easy wins.
Yeah, Missouri stinks. Missouri's terrible.
We're going to see now what they are, because they're playing the NC State team that Ira and I think are really good. Now, they're on a bye this week, so we won't find out. But next week, NC State, Boston College, October the 16th. It's a showdown.
You think there's a chance that it could be Wake and Pitt in the ACC championship game?
Please, help us.
I mean, a pretty good chance, right? Like,
it's starting to feel that way.
I don't know where Wake plays Clemson, but you got to figure Wake's going to put up 17-19 points on that defense, as that defense is.
I would not bet on Clemson to win that game, especially if they're favored by a couple points.
Wouldn't it be funny to watch Clemson like have a 5-loss season?
Well, it would have helped if Boston College could have caught that snap. I think they were going to win that game. Clemson was petrified, and the Venables kid had just dropped an interception.
It's just going to be interesting to watch. We always watch closely because we know that sustaining dynasties is very difficult. You know,
what
Nick Saban has done in Alabama is nothing short of remarkable. It's why he'll go down as the greatest of all time, especially in the modern era. I think it's even more difficult to do than when you had 190 scholarships that were all yours and you could do anything you wanted like the Bear did. But I've wondered about Clemson for a long time because of what he sells. And I thought, okay, let something get shaky there just even for a moment, because I've wondered if deep down they all know he's a clown. He has hired great coordinators.
Who's they all? Like the
Clemson fans.
I think the fans are all aboard the Dabo train. I think it's more about
I
the administration and
media.
I think it's the coaches and the players that you got to worry about more than the fans. The fans will stick with Dabo. I mean, Danny Ford is still a legend there.
Yeah.
He cheated to high heaven,
and he won a
championship 40 years ago, and he's still a
legend.
But
they got a glimpse of the guy that was the clown before he hired great assistants. Almost fired. He was that close.
And the key with all of this is how do those coaches handle the situation when it starts to crack?
Right.
Because that's the thing with Jimbo, and that's what's going to be funny to watch the love affair in Texas A&M, because the media there, he has been so sweet to them, and they've been so sweet to him.
Yeah.
Once they have to start asking tougher questions, then he has to respond to that. Then you start dealing with
it becomes a different
What's
situation.
The spread in that one this weekend, the A&M-Alabama game? That's crazy, has to play Alabama. I was like, okay, well, it's a two-game losing streak, but maybe they're playing Vanderbilt or something. Nope.
I'll look it up while Jeff asks another question.
I'm not asking another question because that's music. Good work out of you. Good work out of you.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
You're the
Matthew.
Best.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, all of you. Be well, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week.